grace, you, and peace.
From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is the text. And we dive into this and we ask, what is this, the year of the Lord's favor? Jesus went about preaching, and at one point he was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he preached about this, the year of the Lord's favor. And the people in the synagogue there in Nazareth, they were not ready. So what is this, the year of the Lord's favor? Well, let's go through a number of points. The signs of the year of the Lord's favor. There's a back and forth between John the Baptist and Jesus, and John the Baptist asks, are you the one? And Jesus says, well, go and tell John what you see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Signs of the year of the Lord's favor. It is that age. And it goes way beyond just simply saying a year. It is the age when God restores his favor to the world, and all that has gone wrong and all that has been involved in wandering off and suffering under separation from God and the judgment of God, all of these things God removes. And instead he gives his love and his favor, his peace, joy, and everything else. It's a good text for leading up to Christmas, because aren't the angels going to sing something about that? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill. And that comes only when God restores his favor to us. But the folks in Nazareth were not ready. The Pharisees were not ready. And here's the reason why they were not ready. The Pharisees had been teaching that you have to do this. You have to do that. You have to prepare. You have to make things right. You have to get things in harmony with God. You have to observe his commandments. You have to keep the Sabbath. You have to tithe and do all of these things. You have to live a life of righteousness. Until you do that, the year of the Lord's favor will not come, so the burden is on you. Which actually is a really great message for getting people to jump to it for a while. It's a really great message for scaring people into doing what you want them to. But the year of the Lord's favor, how's that come? And so when Jesus comes along, he's proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And they're saying, wait a minute, we have to do all these things to gain the year of the Lord's favor. And you're just coming along and proclaiming it? The people haven't sorted out their lives. Families are a mess. Villages are in chaos. There's conflict. There's wars. There is people not going to church. And how then can we have the year of the Lord's favor? The world doesn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Our families don't deserve it. Our towns don't deserve it. Well, actually, that part they got right about the not deserving it. But the other part about earning it, the year of the Lord's favor, you see, this is very different from the year of our cleverness, the year of the great results of our ability and hard work, the year of our skills and our hands have done this. The year of the Lord's favor is very different from that. The year of the Lord's favor is a thing where there are blessings that you did not deserve, you did not earn. There are rewards that are not the rewards of hard work, because all of our hard work falls short of God's demands. And as Isaiah said at a different point, all our righteous deeds, they're like filthy rags. It's a very interesting phrase to preach on the year of the Lord's favor when, as a pastor, I've been watching folks use their hands, their skill, their hard work, their time, their talents to do so much amazing things, so many amazing things at the new building that we're going into in just 4 days. And then to have to preach about, well, no, it's the year of the Lord's favor. It's not what we have done. But actually, you know this, don't you? All of what we could have done, could have figured out, could have planned, could have prepared for, all of that could and often does go absolutely wrong. We need the year of the Lord's favor. Everything we try to do in our families, in our marriages, in our communities, in our life, all of that can run right off the rails and turn into a wreck. And every one of our great and best intentions, when they run into the great and best intentions of somebody else, could be like two trains on the same track heading opposite directions. Those things happen. And they're good intentions, but it just doesn't work. And then you add in the fact that you're sinful. So am I. So are all of you. And so it will go wrong. So the year of the Lord's favor is a thing that comes quite unexpectedly, and there's no way to really prepare for it because you couldn't work your way into it and figure it out. The year of the Lord's favor comes as a surprise, and the people in Nazareth, when Jesus comes to preach in their synagogues, in their synagogue, they don't know what's going on. This is not what they thought it would be all about. The Pharisees have made all of their preparations. We have all kinds of righteousness to show off in front of God. But that's not where the year of the Lord's favor is. And so they are amazed and set back. They don't know how to take this Jesus going around and doing those things he does. What are they to do? So they start rejecting the core idea. This is the heart of it all. The year of the Lord's favor means being called by God out of and into, out of what's gone in the past. And let all of that be gone. It's the year of the Lord's favor. Let all of it be forgotten and don't dwell on it. There's something new that you're stepping into. It's the year of the Lord's favor. Called into something. Called to the gospel. and in Jesus, healing and liberty and freedom. Does this have something to do with baptism? Drowning the old sinful nature and bringing forth the new man? Does this have something to do with the Lord's Supper? Eating a meal of bread and wine of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ that transforms and changes you? Does this have something to do with, on this Wednesday, a gospel message that our children are going to talk about and they're going to act out in front of us, the year of the Lord's favor? And you know, it does not mean that entering into the year of the Lord's favor that everything goes smoothly and everything falls into place. But what it does mean is that God has chosen to bless you. In spite of you, in spite of the past, in spite of everything that you might look around and see in life, He's chosen to bless you. And when God chooses to bless you in that way, it comes unexpectedly. It comes sometimes as a huge surprise. It comes sometimes slowly and, I guess you could call it, sneaky. Sneaky, yeah. Jesus, who was there, was the walking, talking year of the Lord's favor. And how long had he been there when he preached about this? 30 years? And they didn't know that the year of the Lord's favor was already walking among them, was living among them, had grown up among them. But there he was, the year of the Lord's favor. And if they had chosen and tried to figure out, where are we going to go and look for the year of the Lord's favor, it would not have been starting out in a stable and in a manger. That's not where you find the year of the Lord's favor, is it? Well, no, not if the year of the Lord's favor means your great achievements and meeting God up here. But if the year of the Lord's favor means God meeting you down here and being there for the least and for those who have wandered off and for the troubled and for those whose lives are a turmoil and for those who have not yet figured out just what it is God has in mind for their lives, then the year of the Lord's favor has to start out very much down to earth among the lowliest. So this is what Jesus does, the year of the Lord's favor. That's why the angels are singing glory to God in the highest, and what on earth? Peace and goodwill. God's favor and God's love. The year of the Lord's favor. And the year of the Lord's favor, well, it had to cost something, didn't it? Not for us, but the year of the Lord's favor came at a price. The year of the Lord's favor meant God dealing with all of those things that have earned His disfavor and His wrath and His punishment, dealing with all of those, because until those are gotten out of the way, you can't have the year of the Lord's favor, can you? And so the year of the Lord's favor comes to us in that really, really strange place on a hill outside of Jerusalem on a day when the sky turns black and the earth shakes. And the best man among us, the best man who has ever lived, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The answer? So that God now will not forsake the rest of us, so that we can have the year of the Lord's favor. You watch how that unfolds. Sneak peek ahead to Easter. You watch how that unfolds, and on Easter morning, is there not the unexpected, the surprise, the disciples not ready, the women not ready, Mary Magdalene not ready? But the year of the Lord's favor is a thing that God does. And we have found it to be true in our lives. In our lives individually, in our lives as a in our life together as a congregation, that the year of the Lord's favor that comes to us as a gift from God, and when we tried to seize hold of it, it wasn't there. But the year of the Lord's favor comes to us over and over again in Jesus Christ. And often enough, when you least expect it, there he is, giving the blessing that you had no idea that he had in mind. This is our God. This is our Savior. And walking with him and following him is a life that's full of these wondrous surprises. In Jesus' name, amen.